Well, the word I received this afternoon was one simple verse. And it was John chapter 4, verse 11. And so if you'll take a ride with me to John chapter 4, I think you'll hopefully be blessed. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can I get this living water?" Now, verse 12 says, "Are you greater than our fathers Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Notice how she's on the level of the natural. Yet she's speaking to the Messiah and has no clue. So if you study this particular chapter, you'll find that Jesus is out to give her something she needs that she doesn't know she needs. And I think that's the part that's important. She does not know she needs this living water. And he is that living water. So that's the cool part. The supply is right in front of her, and she has no idea. Okay? So I'd like you to also take a peek at verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." So the subject of water at the well is incredible for someone who has no clue about spiritual water versus natural water. And kind of neat that Jackie would have Gail in the water. Okay, and she didn't know what we talked about earlier because she wasn't here. Okay? Now, in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 47, it says, verse 1, "The man who brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faces east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple," or the south side of the altar. You'll also find it confirmed in Joel 3:18. Now, in the Old Covenant, you had natural temples made out of material. What do we got today? Our body is a temple. We are that temple. So St. Paul tells us we're the temple, and where is this altar in the temple now? It's your spirit man. That's the temple. It also says that when you speak in your heavenly language, you will have what? Living water pouring out of you. See, it's not all foreign and rocks and gold and metal and a fancy building in Jerusalem. It's really you and me. Okay? Zechariah 14, verse 8 says, "On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half to the east sea and half to the western sea in the summer and in winter." Now, I'm going to shake you a little bit. A lot of traditions say that there's going to be an earthquake in Jerusalem. And there's going to be a new temple. But they forgot, St. Paul says, you and me are the temple. So where's going to be the earthquake? Inside of us. Are you ready for an earthquake inside? Are you ready to pour out some of that living water to the east and to the west, to the south and to the north? See, when you figure, a lot of times the scripture is so clear if you simply put on your spiritual mind. And your mind is the mind of Christ, so it cannot be what is written there as it is, because God hides his stuff. He's real sneaky. All his good gems, he's hidden in between the lines. So when you read it, don't just also just, you know, plow through, but really ask him for a clue. Okay? Next one. John 7:37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Now there's our cool one. He's declaring that he is the living water in a whole new way. And notice it's the last day and the greatest day of the feast. How many days in the Feast of Tabernacles? Yes. So think about it. The last day that we are now preparing to enter in, God is still crying out. It's going to be the greatest day, and that living water is going to be touching everybody in the earth. Those that know him and those that don't know him are going to get flooded by him. Watch verse 38. "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within." The other guy. Misprint, right? It's going to flow from within whom? Us. From the very inner parts of you. From the throne room within you. That'll take your religious mind and shake it a little bit. Because when you take that reality, that the throne of God is within you, and his altar is within you, and he's sitting at the right hand of where? Yeah. Where are they sitting? Where's the Holy Spirit? Ah. Ready to pour out on the one in need. What does that do to your religious brain? Does it shake it up a little bit? Does that sound like an earthquake to you? I'm shaking your earth. And I'm purposing to shake it enough to let you in on the secret that you are the temple. You've been filled with the Holy Ghost as a deposit. Jesus is within by his Spirit. The next revelation is Papa and his glory fulfilling his destiny within you. Talk about an earthquake. Are you ready? Ah. It's going to take all your religious brains and you're going to have to find the closest basket and get rid of it. That caught, you know, for this piece that you got on your shoulders, it's going to cause you some headaches. If you don't change and adjust and grow up. Revelation 7:17. "For the Lamb of at the center of the throne will be their shepherd." Psalm 23, right? "He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." From where? Where is the Lamb? In. He's not out there. You don't need to reach out. He's in. Isn't that a cool clue? You ready for the next one? Revelation 22:1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Where is the throne of God? Inside me and you. Verse 2. Down the middle of the great street of the city. That's the church. The great city is Jerusalem, is you. You are also Zion, a special people, higher up. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of my neighbor. Healing of the nation. So it doesn't matter what color, what background, what creed, what nation, it doesn't matter. They're going to come in. They're going to come in. They're going to be shaken until they come in. And you know what? Sometimes you think you're nothing. Sometimes you think that you shouldn't be causing such a ruckus. But you have no idea how much of that water is irritating the darkness. How many have ever walked outside and there's the smell of rain? And you can just know it's going to rain. Now, you haven't listened to the forecast and the newspaper is not close to you, but you just know it's going to rain. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. I want you to realize that those that don't know Jesus and haven't got a clue about you can smell the living water from a mile away. You are activating the darkness from many miles away just by the living water that's inside of you. And it threatens them because they are owning the house they live in, and it's not the temple of God that they are. They're the temple of darkness. They belong to darkness. They've lived in darkness. Darkness is their home. Their natural state is being threatened every time you come into closeness of their presence and the smell of water. The smell of that living water is going to irritate some of them. And you won't have a clue. Until you wake up and you say, oh my God, I'm the cause of this thing. Look at your neighbor and say, you are an irritation to darkness.
You are an irritation to darkness.
I don't remember the numbers, but I remember this. A camel. I believe it's 32 miles that they can smell water from when they're in a desert. Anyway, it's such a dramatic number. I couldn't believe the status, the numbers. It's miles and miles and miles. They can smell it. And so if the driver of the camel is dying of water, he just releases the camel, and the camel will head straight for that water, whether there's sight of it or not, because he can smell it. Now get a clue. Do you think that a person who's under the anointing of darkness doesn't smell your water? And you usually hear this. It's your fault. You did something. They're irritated, but you did something. Literally, your presence is the problem. Did that confirm your word?
Well, I guess, yeah. But I was being reminded of something that happened where I work. There was a couple that came in, and they were coming in for anger management counseling.
Yeah.
And the wife of the couple got so irritated by something I said, she stomped away and said, I'll never come to her again. And, of course, right away I said to myself, was that rude? What did I say?
Yeah.
You know, but that's probably...
Condemning yourself.
Yeah, but, you know, it could just very well be if she was just irritated by whatever.
Yeah.
Some of those that come before us at 99, you know, some they were just burning.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't know why they were uncomfortable.
That's right. They're very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I had one in registration that was like that. Just said the same thing that you said to everybody, and oh my goodness.
Yeah.
She was so upset.
Yeah. See, don't forget now. Ephesians 6:12 says your battle is not against flesh and blood. So it's not the person that's your problem. It's really the controlling forces that are operating through them. And they may have no clue that those things are inside of them. And really, you, because you're there and because of the Christ within you, the anointing in you, is causing such an irritation. Okay? They're going to be drawn.
They were so drawn that I noticed when I did Communion Central the last night, they just didn't want to leave that tent.
Yeah.
They just wanted to keep being where they felt the presence of the Lord. So, I mean, you had the ones that couldn't wait to get out, and then you had the ones that
don't want to leave.
They wanted to get closer and closer and closer.
Amen. I had one on Sunday night that came back for 3 hugs. Tried to walk away, came back. Tried to walk away a second time, came back. Third time again.
Well, that's because you give such good hugs. Huh?
Oh, okay. No, but, I never met this person. But the Lord already had a calling on him, you know. And also, there was one other little thing that happens, because when you give out seeds of grace and mercy, what do you get? You're going to get some back, right? The first time I worked in one of the rooms, there was one young man that's a worker there. I would say he's probably 15. And he came back into that room 3 times. During those 2.5, 3 hours or whatever it was. And he showed up again this weekend. And Sunday night he hung out until he could get a hug. And I said to him, you know, I've been waiting for you. And he started to smile. And I said, you're a treat and you don't even realize it. Just thank you for being who you are. And he looked at me, and again, you know, he was glowing, literally glowing. Just because he was receiving a little bit of appreciation for what he had done. And he looked a little bit tired, and it was close to 11 when he was leaving. And I said, is your job part all done? He says, yeah. He says, I'm on my way home. And I said, well, let's pray. And we prayed just a short prayer. And he was just walking away, you know, but I could see there was a bounce in his step, and he was just totally alive in Christ, that, you know, that water was already touching him and healing was in process. So I would say to you intercessors, don't stop praying for those that go to 99. They may not get everything there, but if they get the seed of life, that's all that's needed. When you put a tomato seed into the ground, my 5-year-old great-granddaughter, her mother bought her a little package, Your First Garden. And she came home with this, and of course, it was Grandpa and Grandma that had to set this thing up, right? It's like a little terrarium. And she did the planting of the seeds, and I helped her, and now we've got fruit, of course. They're growing, and her father had to put them in his garden, and needless to say, life starts with a seed. Close your eyes. Father, they have the seed of life within them. His name is Jesus. And you're going to mature them as you see fit. And Father, more and more that living water is being stirred up. And the earth is quaking periodically so that more water will gush out. I thank you that you will touch every area around them, north, south, east, and west, with the great living water coming from the throne of God within them, because they are the temple. Take a chance now. Say, Father,
I am your temple.
Flow out of me. Touch those around me. Heal and set them free. Just like you're doing with me. To God be the glory. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
I just want to say one more thing about having worked on registration the last couple of nights.
Yeah.
You should see how many are repeats. I mean, two and three times, and they're bringing others.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
One,
yeah, we had one girl last night. The leader tried to get her to sit with the counselor. She says, oh, no. Last night I came through and I was crying so much I don't want to go through that again. She had friends with her, though, this time. You know. So she brought her friends with her, but she was so shaken. She was shaken like that.
But shaken enough to come back.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And to bring friends.
And bring friends.
Yes. Yes. Their children, grandchildren.
Their kids bringing their mother.
Bringing their mother and their grandparents.
Yes.
Teenagers bringing their family there.
Yeah, that's what I had. I had a girl last weekend, and she came back. She had her mother and two brothers with her.
Good.
And she was just so, she was just glowing.
How many would like to hear some good news for America?
Yes.
I pulled this off because there was a real press this morning. This is a word that was given on May 19th from California, from Kim Clement. I never want you to go away from me, America. You were on your knees when you began. Where did you go? Why did you fly away? Why did you go and run away from me, America? Why did you run away? But I will gather you together, as I promised, Jerusalem. I will gather you together. I will cover you with my wings. I will bring you back to my altar, America, 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 America. God says, I'll bring you back. You've run away from me, but I've seen and watched how you desired to come back to me. The Spirit of God says, I'll draw you back to my nest. And in this nation there will be fire, 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 fire. From Israel to America there will be one sound, one voice. From Israel to America there will be one sound, one voice, one breath, says the Lord. His omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence, his immutability, his infallibility, all are combined for our defense. You cannot trust in your military. You cannot trust in your armed forces only. You have to understand its omnipotence, my omniscience, my omnipresence, my immutability, my infallibility. That is your defense, says the Lord. And I have given it to you. Therefore, rise up in praise. Rise up and shout. Rise up in praise, says the Lord, and I will fight for you during the summer, says the Lord. This is a prophetic song. Now, I'm not going to sing because I don't know what the tune is, but I'll give you the words. The vastness of your grace, the beauty of your face, draw me to you. Draw me to you in the night. The vastness of your grace, the beauty of your face, draw me in the night. I see you in the night, and though the nation's in despair, the nation has nowhere to go. Where is your grace in the night? Do you remember America in the night? Once a mighty, a mountain showing to the world the beauty of your grace. Don't leave us in the light. I come and sing in the night. They stood and fought. Will they fight again? Will they stand for righteousness, O God? Once again will America shine their holy light. Once again. Show the world. Show the world the beauty of your face. Will you shine again in the night? Will you speak to them in the night? The vastness of your grace, the beauty of your face, shine in the night. You are faithful to all. You never change your mind. That's why I love you. Etc. The other word was for Italy, and I would definitely say that it's worth reading, but I wanted to give you the one for America because I believe that many people think America is about to go down the tubes. And they're believing wrong. Today, I went to lunch, and the waitress saw a book that I was reading, and she says, "Oh, is that interesting?" She says, "What's it about?" I said, "Well, it's God's plan for His next revelation to His people." She says, "Really?" She says, "Well, is the world ending now?" I said, "Well, it ended 2,000 years ago." She says, "It did?" I says, "Yeah." I said, "Jesus was born and they had to change their calendar." She says, "Oh." I said, "Yeah, they threw away the old one and they gave us a brand new one. That's what's going to happen in 2012. She says, "You're kidding." I said, "No, this is the good news." She says, "Wow. And I've been worried all this time for nothing?" I said, "Well, here's my card. Consider visiting when you have a chance."
That's why we love you.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah. We love you. And I love the fact that you just said Sunday, you need to pray for Jackie and the people in Connecticut, and here she is.
Anyone else? Come on, let people know what you've been doing.
I'm serious. That's what he said Sunday, just before we were going to leave him.
Yeah. Jim, anything else?
Yeah,
hopefully you feel at home.
I feel like really at peace.
Good!
All right.
It's just like, I'm sitting here and it's, I got home from work and I was rushing around and I'm like I said, I went to one person's house and wasn't there. I went to call someone else. I'm like, "Oh, well, Lord, what do you want me to do?" He goes, "Go to church." I'm like, "Where?" He goes, "Where did Bobby tell you to go?" I'm like, it was just...
Yeah, he's a friend of Bobby Santiago. So it's Bobby's fault that Jim is here today.
Yeah, so next time I come back with Bobby.
All right.
Bobby. I'm just thinking about so many things. With the kids up in my high school.
Just continue to intercede as the Lord leads, and the rest will fall into place. Because God's got a plan. Anyone else?
Bobby and Rosie were at the 99.
Yes.
Yeah,
guess what? Bobby was playing a Roman soldier, whipping the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, yes, I heard about it. I wish I would have been able to go see, but I was already committed.
You should have seen it. And then they came Sunday just to say hi to somebody.
Really?
They had plans.
Oh, God, I missed them.
But he's going to be there, I think he said Friday and Saturday of this week.
Good. So we'll
be here.
Good. Well, trust the Lord as you intercede. Go forward in obedience. Share some hugs with each other. That's your job tonight.